by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Wassalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Monday Channel, welcome to the early morning program, Rise and Shine. Viewers of Monday Channel, as you know, on Rise and Shine, we always begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And today's blessing that we're going to give you, it is stated that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, has said that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to him, stating humbly to him, that Allah azza wa jalla has said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you not pleased that when anyone from your ummah sends one salam, I, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla, send 10 salams upon him. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak salutations upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala. So we've said it many, many times, and I'll continue to say it. I know I've said it so many times, but I will continue to say it. Please make time. Put time aside, you know, a few minutes in the day, 5 minutes in the day. Like I was traveling to work today, I recite as much as possible on the way home, whilst you're in the bus, whilst you're traveling, whatever your mode of transport is. Everybody travels, nearly everybody travels nowadays, yeah, to work. And if you're not traveling, you're walking to work. If you walk to work, then whilst you're walking to work, use that time. You know, you can be walking to work and multitasking. You know, this is what multitasking is about, that you can do multi things at the same time. You can be walking to work, sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can be driving to work. You can be waiting for a customer. You can be waiting to see someone, whatever it is. But don't waste your time and utilize that time. And one of the best ways of utilizing your time is sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've again said it many, many times before, but who knows that one extra salutation that we send might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of the channel, you got Rise and Shine today, inshallah. And like you know, every day as we give you the blessing of reciting Durood e Pak, straight after that, we start the day. And again, one of the best possible ways that we can start our day. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all start our day with what's going to happen now, or at least at some part in our day, we do what's going to happen now. And that is listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
قال ألم نربك فينا وليدا ولبثت فينا من عمرك سنين
بولا کیا ہم نے تمہیں اپنے یہاں بچپن میں نہ پالا اور تم نے ہمارے یہاں اپنی عمر کے کئی برس گزارے
وفعلت فعلتك التي فعلت وأنت من الكافرين
اور تم نے کیا اپنا وہ کام جو تم نے کیا اور تم نا شکر تھے
قال فعلتها اذا وانا من الضالين
موسیٰ نے فرمایا میں نے وہ کام کیا جبکہ مجھے راہ کی خبر نہ تھی
ففررت منكم لما خفتكم فوهب لي ربي حكما وجعلني من المرسلين
تو میں تمہارے یہاں سے نکل گیا جبکہ تم سے ڈرا تو میرے رب نے مجھے حکم عطا فرمایا اور مجھے پیغمبروں سے کیا
وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ
اور یہ کوئی نعمت ہے جس کا تو مجھ پر احسان جتاتا ہے کہ تو نے غلام بنا کر رکھے بنی اسرائیل
قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ
فرعون بولا اور سارے جہان کا رب کیا ہے
قال رب السماوات والارض وما بينهما ان كنتم موقنين
موسیٰ نے فرمایا رب آسمانوں اور زمین کا اور جو کچھ ان کے درمیان ہے اگر تمہیں یقین ہو.
قال لمن حوله الا تستمعون,
اپنے آس پاس والوں سے بولا کیا تم غور سے سنتے نہیں.
قال ربكم ورب آبائكم الاولين,
موسیٰ نے فرمایا رب تمہارا اور تمہارے اگلے باپ داداؤں کا.
قال ان رسولكم الذي ارسل اليكم لمجنون,
بولا تمہارے یہ رسول جو تمہاری طرف بھیجے گئے ہیں ضرور عقل نہیں رکھتے.
قال رب المشرق والمغرب وما بينهما ان كنتم تعقلون,
موسیٰ نے فرمایا رب پورب یعنی مشرق اور پچھم یعنی مغرب کا اور جو کچھ ان کے درمیان ہے اگر تمہیں عقل ہو.
قال لئن اتخذت الہا غیری لأجعلنک من المسجونین,
بولا اگر تم نے میرے سوا کسی اور کو خدا ٹھہرایا تو میں ضرور تمہیں قید کر دوں گا.
قال اولو جئتک بشیء مبین, قال فأت به ان كنت من الصادقين,
فرمایا کیا اگرچہ میں تیرے پاس کوئی روشن چیز لاؤں, کہا تو لاؤ اگر سچے ہو.
فألقى عصاه فإذا هي ثعبان مبين,
تو موسیٰ نے اپنا عصا ڈال دیا جبھی وہ سری اژدہا ہو گیا.
ونزع يده فإذا هي بيضاء للناظرين,
اور اپنا ہاتھ نکالا تو جبھی وہ دیکھنے والوں کی نگاہ میں جگمگانے لگا.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. You know, mashallah, you watch Madri Channel. A lot of people here that are watching this program are regular viewers of Madri Channel. And there are many, many programs, many, many packages, many, many reminders, many, many hadiths, many, many parables that you'll listen to whilst you're watching Madri Channel. But the most beneficial, in one way, you could say, as far as the reward in the afterlife, is listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I think we should try and make a habit of listening and reading. And unfortunately, there are many, many households. The majority of households will be there that unfortunately don't listen or read the Holy Quran. There's an event, I think I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again very, very quickly, where somebody came to somebody's house as a guest. He had a khatam in his house and he invited everybody. And, you know, one by one, as the khatam finished, he was seeing them to the door. And when he was seeing the second to last guest out, the last person was the imam, he had some money and he put the money on the table. And he went out and saw the guest out, the second to last guest. And as the second to last guest went out and he was coming back in, the Imam Sahib was also leaving. So the Imam Sahib left and that was the end of it. And when the host came back in, he saw on his table that, you know, the money had gone. And straight away he started to doubt the Imam because he was the last person there and he started to put doubt in the Imam. And, you know, after that, he avoided the Imam. He didn't give salam to the Imam. He stopped seeing him or looking out for him or approaching him. A whole year passed. And the whole year passed, and after the whole year, again, there was a khatam. And again, through public pressure, sort of peer pressure, he was said that, you know, people said to him, call the Imam Sahib as well. So he called the Imam Sahib. And the Imam Sahib openly said to him that, you know, why is it that you've avoided me for the last 12 months? What have I done wrong? And he said, no, no, it's okay. And he said, tell me, what have I done wrong? And he opened up and he said, look, I put money on the table. And as I went out, you know, and when I came back, the money wasn't there. So I've been doubting you since then. You know, you were the only person there. And the Imam Sahib all of a sudden got upset. And the host thought that the reason why he's got upset is because, you know, he's been found out, he's been caught out. But the Imam Sahib said, look, I'm not upset because, you know, you think you've caught me. I've not done anything wrong. He said, as you went out and I saw the wind was blowing, I picked up the money and I put it in the Quran. I opened the book and put the Quran there, closed it. And the host then realized that for a whole year, he'd not opened the Quran. But that probably does happen in so many houses, that unless someone passes away, unless there is a tragedy in the house, or even a khatam, unfortunately nowadays we don't even read the Quran, we get other people to read it. You know, people send you messages, any Isa al-Sawab, any Isa al-Sawab, and you know, we don't read the Quran ourselves. And then we wonder why we are where we are. I mean, that's just one story. I could probably do a whole program on stories that have come to me with people regards to the non-respect or the non-following, the non-reading, or the fact that, you know, they can't even remember where the Quran in Pakistan is in the house. You know, when they feel they need it, they have to think twice, where is it? And, you know, it happens, but this is wrong, and we need to make a change in ourselves. Views on the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And inshallah, today we're going to talk a little bit about the grandeur, the splendor of the two grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I want you to, you know, ponder over when you hear the events that took place on the plains of Karbala, the sacrifices that were made by Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and by his family. But sacrifices were made, you know, throughout history. In the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, we hear about the sacrifice that he made, his family made, his companions made, the battles of Badr, the battles of Uhud, all the other battles that took place, the sacrifices that were made. Then we hear about the sacrifices of the pious predecessors, their sacrifices that they made, so that the deen could come to us. And when it comes to us, we put it on a top shelf and leave it there and forget about it. Something to reflect. I know I'm going off topic, which is usually a bad habit of mine, but I think it's something that we need to reflect on. We need to think about that, you know, is this our deen? Is this our contribution to the deen? That this is it? You know, all of these sacrifices that have been made throughout history, you know, that as a result of that, that the deen has got to me and this is what I'm doing? That I cannot even be bothered to get up for Salatul Fajr during the day. During Salatul Zuhr, I'm eating. During Salatul Asr, I'm with my friends. During Salatul Maghrib, I'm traveling. And Isha, I want to get to bed early or I want to go out with my friends. Is this it? We need to reflect. We need to think and ask ourselves. You know, when you're on a road, and you're on the motorway in this country, when you're on the M1, and if you're facing in one direction, you know that if I keep on this direction, I'm going to go to London. If you're facing this direction, you know if I keep on going on this direction, I'm going to go to Scotland. Look at your life. Look at the direction that you're going and ask yourself, where am I going? You know, when you're on a road, you know where you're going. When you're on a motorway, you know that if I keep on going in this way and I don't get off, if I don't change direction, I'm going to end up here. On the M1, if I'm going south, I'll end up in London. If I'm on the M1 going north, if I don't change direction, I'm going to end up in Scotland. Ask yourself, where is my life heading? Which direction am I in? And do I need to get off? Do I need to make a change? Do I need to turn around? Do I need to reroute myself? Ask yourself. And you are the only person that can ask yourself. Nobody can do this analysis for you. You need to ask yourself. You know, the same way that when you go to a doctor and the doctor gives you a blood report, and as a result of that, you make changes in your life. Ask yourself, where is my life going? Where is my life heading? You know, and I can't even be bothered to take the book off the shelf, the Holy Quran, the book that has been preserved for 1400 years. I can't be bothered to take that off the shelf. I can't be bothered to open it. I can't be bothered to read 3 verses a day. That's what Amir Summit is asking us to do. Read 3 verses a day with translation and commentary. Just that. Just that. And they say that, you know, it'll make a change in you. This will make a change in you. You'll feel peace in your mind that you're reading the words of your Rabb, the words of your Creator, the words of Allah. You're reading His words. Allah is talking to you, telling you. Use them on the channel, please. Again, I know I've gone off topic and the technical team are going to start speaking in my ears now that get back onto the topic. I know, I do apologize, but I think we need to focus and think ourselves. Like I said, today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the splendor of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. But before that, we're going to go to the Kalam of the day. Let's go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. When we go back, I do apologize, I've gone off topic again. When we come back, inshallah, we'll get with the topic of the day. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, khaake Madina, 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 khaake Madina hoti sar hota hoti rahe
کرم سے طیبہ مجھے بلاتے صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا کس کو گر بلاتے بے قصوں کے آقا وہ بے قصوں کے آقا بے قص کو گر بلاتے کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑ کر خوار ہوتا کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑ کر خوار ہوتا زمین ہوتی طیبہ میں گر میسر دو گز زمین ہوتی ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا ان کے قریب بستا ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا کے خوب لگتی مٹی میری ٹھکانے گھر ان کی راہ گزر پر گھر ان کی راہ گزر پر میرا مزار ہوتا یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گم یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا اور میں غبار بن کر اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا مگر اب تو اسے آقا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم خاک مدینہ the dust of Medina. And that kalam is about the dust of Medina. And you know, the lovers of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم love anything that is attributed, associated, referenced to, or is an association with or closeness to the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And the city of Medina, without doubt, is close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved that city. And so whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved, we should also love. He loved the city of Medina. He's resting in the city of Medina. There are certain foods he liked, and as a result of that, you know, the lovers are encouraged to like them foods as well. There are certain things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like, and so people, the lovers are discouraged to dislike them. In the same way, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his companions, and so it is part of our iman to love the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the Ahlul Bayt meaning his family, his relatives, he loved them. And so for us, it is incumbent upon us to love the Ahlul Bayt, not only the Ahlul Bayt at the time where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with us, but the Ahlul Bayt up until now, the Sayyids, all the Sayyids, but it is part of our iman to love these people. And so without doubt, loving the grandsons who are amongst the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ahlul Bayt, loving them, you know, if you can think about the love we're expected to have for the dust of Medina, you know, for that kalam, just think of the love that is expected of us for the grandsons. And those grandsons that were not just normal grandsons in the sense that today maybe some of the viewers here have grandsons and maybe they meet them, you know, once every 3 months, once every 6 months, once a year, or they go and travel to see them. Maybe they don't have time to play with them, all these things. But these are those grandsons that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dearly loved. These grandsons that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam played with, carried with, you know. And inshallah, we're going to give you some parables today, some events that took place that shows to you the love that not only the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, but I'm hoping time permits, we can show some examples of the love that the companions also had for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. It's narrated that Sayyidina Salman Farsi has said that we were present in the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Sayyidina Umme Ayman came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said that Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala have gone missing. The sun had completely risen by this time. It was sun risen. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, let's go and find my sons. He didn't just get up himself, or he didn't just say to them, go and find them. Or he didn't just say to the companions, can you go and have a quick look and see where you can find them? He himself got up and started to look for these grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everyone went in different directions. You can imagine the situation at that time. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on walking until we reached the foot of a mountain. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the foot of this mountain, we saw that Hassan and Hussein were clinging to each other, and near them was a python. standing on its tail upright, with blazing fire emitting out of its mouth. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam quickly stepped forward, and seeing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the python curled up and hid behind the rocks. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Husnain Karaman, separated them from each other, cleaned their faces, and said to them, "May the life of my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. How honorable you are in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, he picked them up, he cleaned their faces, and praised them and said, "How honorable you are. Praised, you are honorable in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal." You can see from this how much love that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that not only, like I said earlier on, when they'd gone missing, he didn't just say to, "Oh, go look for them then, yeah? I'm busy here." You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, you know, is obviously a very, 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 the most busy person. He's sitting with the companions. He, without doubt, he's doing the work of the deen. He's instructed them to doing things. He's teaching them certain things. Two small children have gone missing. Go and find them. They'll be here somewhere. "Yeah, I'm busy. I'll you know, if you can't find them, let me know and maybe I'll do something about it." No. No, the Prophet of Allah said, I've got up and started looking for them. This is the love that he had, the compassion that he had. This is how close they were to him. You know, and we see in this, it is stated that the immense love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for them. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, listen to this, "Who do you love more amongst the Ahl Bayt?" And he replied, "Hassan and Hussein." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala to bring my children to me, and he would smell them. Yes, he would smell them, and he would cuddle them children. He would pick them children up, cuddle them, and he would smell them children. And he said that they are the most loved amongst my family. Allahu Akbar. There are so many Madani pearls in just that one hadith, if only we understand. If only we understand. The renowned commentator of the Quran, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nimi Rahmatullah, stated in the commentary of this hadith, he says, there are various kinds of love. Love for offspring, love for your wives, love for friends are all different. Hasnain, Karaman were held dear amongst the offspring. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala was dear to the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst his chaste wives. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was dear to him amongst his friends. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah has further stated, why would the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not smell them? He would smell these children. Allahu Akbar. They were the flowers of the Holy Prophet, and the flowers are definitely smelled. Holding them close was to love them affectionately. It makes the facts obvious that holding the young children close, sniffing them, cuddling them, and loving them are all acts of the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And again, do we show love to our children? Do we cuddle them? Do we kiss them? Do we hug them? You know, I've heard people say to me that, you know, they're in the teens now, they're 20 plus. Our parents never hugged us. Our parents never kissed us. Our parents never showed affection to us. And you know, this is not the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we think nowadays, people think as parents, we need to be stern, we need to be firm. You know, we need to show our authority. Our children need to be afraid of us all the time. You know, one look at our children and they're scared of us. That's not the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, whenever there's a need to explain to our children, to scold to our children, then again, you know, and even if we have to punish our children, but again, all of these are within boundaries. They're all within the boundaries of this. But our children should not be in permanent fear of us. Our children should be able to come to us, and we should be able to go to our children. We should be able to pick up our children and cuddle them, and we should feel comfort. Not only they feel comfort, they should, you know, when you give them a cuddle and they feel happy that they're getting a cuddle, we should be in that state. Well, we can feel comfortable that we're getting a cuddle, that we're getting a hug, that we kiss our grandchildren, we kiss our children, we hug them, we love them, we play with them. We give time to them. And this again is where we are going wrong, viewers of my channel, that we don't have time. Why don't we have time for our children? Why don't we have time for our grandchildren? They are your greatest asset. They are your legacy. They are your inheritance that you're going to pass on to generation to generation. Your money will disappear. In a blink of an eye, someone can spend it, someone can lose it, someone can burn it, your property can all disappear. Your true legacy in this dunya, if you want to leave a legacy, it's your children. They are going to take your name forward. Be it the boys, be it the girls, they will take your name forward. So we need to take this legacy forward. We need to give legacy, this love to this legacy. These children are there. They need our time. They need to be able to sit with them, talk with them, play with them. We need to know their likes, their dislikes. Do we know what our children like? Do we know what our children dislike? Do we know where our children are going? Do we know where our children's friends are? Forget all that. Do we have time to give them a kiss? Do we have time to give them a cuddle? Or when we pick up a baby, we think, oh my God, you know what? This baby's probably dirty and it's nappy. Here you are, have it back. We just want to get rid of the child, yeah? Because he might make you, you know, might dirty you or whatever he might do, but that's not the way. That's not the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would love, and we can show these perfect examples of how he loved his grandchildren. Inshallah, we'll talk more about them. And that's just one example. Where he left all of his duties, got up and went, looking for them, personally went looking for them. And personally, he was the one that found them and rushed to them, moved them apart, cuddled them, cleaned their faces with the dust that had on their face, kissed them and hugged them and cuddled them. And we hear that he cuddled them, he smelled them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Are we like that? Again, reflect, think. You know, we keep on talking about the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is also the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't just pick and choose and say, oh, I want that. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'll just have that. We can't do that. It's not like a tray of biscuits. Oh, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. You know what? I'll have this one. I don't want any of them. I don't like that. It's not like that. The sunnah is not like this. We need to adopt it in our lives completely. Yeah? In every aspect of our life, the sunnah is there for us. If only we realize. And here we're showing the aspect of how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would treat his grandchildren. Not only that, we see the status, the maqam that Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein had, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that they are honored in the court of Allah azza wa jalla. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. So again, this is their status. And inshallah, after the break, again, I'm taking longer than expected, I do apologize. After the break, inshallah, we'll continue talking about the grandeur, the splendor, the status of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Do you know that when we meet our friends, our acquaintances, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such gatherings as well? Perform dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Recite Al-Quranul Kareem. Why? Because this is a sunnah. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi states in Mir'atul Manajih, reciting Al-Quranul Kareem at the time of meeting your friends is a prophetic sunnah. Meaning reading the Quran and listening to the Quran in that gathering. And he writes that this is still a tradition that is followed by the Arabs. So across the world, wherever Muslims are, we should try to implement this. Our gatherings shouldn't be devoid of dhikrullah azza wa jal and tilawatul Quran. Sometimes all we hear in the gathering is laughter, shouting, raising voices, people mocking each other. No, we should recite al-Quran al-Kareem, allow mercy to descend on that gathering. Inshallah, this will give us a stronger bond. It will help us to strengthen our iman. And above all, it's a sunnah. And reviving a sunnah entails great reward.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if you become aware of the works of Dawud here in the UK, then there are many, many regions that have been created and work is happening there. Many, many buildings, masjids, Fazan al-Madinas, Madrasat al-Madinas, Jamaat al-Madinas, Dar al-Madinas. Alhamdulillah, up and down the country, with more expected to open as soon as possible, inshallah. So please support your Dawat Islami. Visit the channel. Today we're talking about the grandeur and the splendor of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. And I just want to talk a little bit about them, about the attributes, about the names, how they were given, inshallah, so that we can understand a little bit about them. Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala is older than Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. The Imam Hassan is the elder brother. The kunya, the patronymic of Sayyidina Imam Hassan is Abu Muhammad, and his title is Sayyid, whereas he's commonly known as Sibta Rasulullah. And he is also known as Arihana Tur Rasul. And he is the chief of the heaven-dwelling youths. He was born in Medina on the 15th night of Ramadan al-Mubarak. The beloved and Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his akika on the 7th day of his birth when his head was shaved and santaka was ordered to be given equal to the weight of his hair. The greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam named him. It was Sayyidina Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha who brought the good news of the birth of Sayyidina Imam Hassan to the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and said to Sayyidina Asma radiallahu ta'ala, bring my son. Straight away, bring my son. Sayyidina Asma radiallahu ta'ala brought Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala wrapped in a piece of cloth. The blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Azan in his right ear and Takbir in his left. And then he asked the father of the children, who is the father? Who is the father of Imam Hassan? Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Here, mashallah, one of the greatest companions. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was the father. And he said to him, what have you named? What name have you given to your honorable son? Straight away, he's an honorable son. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu humbly replied, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how could I dare to name him without your order and permission? However, since you have asked me, I think he should be named Harb. But you have the supreme authority, whatever you decide. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then named him Hassan. The younger brother of Sayyidina Imam Hassan, a glorious martyr, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, was born in Medina on the 5th of Shaban in 4 Hijri. The revered and renowned Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam named him Hussein and Shabir. His patronymic is Abu Abdullah and his title is Sibda Rasulullah and Rehanatul Rasul. And he is also the chief of the heaven-dwelling youths like his elder brother. So both of these children, they are the chief of the youth of paradise. Allahu Akbar. Them two hadiths that I just mentioned tell us about the manners of giving names. And one of the rights that a child has, but a child cannot demand. You know, a child, when he gets older, he can demand things. That I demand that you give me this, I demand, and he shouldn't. He shouldn't be demanding anything. But it says certain things are his right. You know, an education is a right, you know, an upbringing is right. And maybe he can say that, look, you know, can I go to this madrasa, can I go to that jamia, and he can request these things. But the right of a child that he has no say in whatsoever, he has no discussion in whatsoever, he has no hear or say or cannot even be part of the discussion is the name. The name that the child is given. And so that name is the name that he will be remembered or called upon all his life. That name is the name that he will be summoned by on the day of judgment. Also, son of so-and-so. You will be summoned by your name and your father's name on the day of judgment. So it is very important for us to ensure that when we give our children names, we give them good names. Now, unfortunately, what's happening nowadays, we have a trend. Well, not a trend. We have a habit and a trend. The habit is such that we give our children names of famous singers, famous politicians, famous sportsmen, famous, I don't know, film stars. You know, this should not be a reason. When you give a name, even if that name is also a name of somebody that is very, very pious, is also the name of the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also the name of the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is also a name of the family of the Ahl Bayt. But if we're giving it with the intention, you know what, that singer, what a really good singer he is. Yeah. Well, look at that politician, he's led our party to victory. Or all these things, you know, whatever it is, be it a sportsman, a personality, a film star, whoever it is, we should not be giving our children the name of that person with the intention that it's because of that. Now, if we give the same name, if it's a good name, and the same name is the name of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without doubt, all of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are good names. Then that's what we should do. But also what's happening now is we want a name that nobody's chosen before. I want to give my child a name that nobody's got. I want my child to be unique. I want my child to be special. I want my child to stand out in a crowd because of this unique name. If you want your child to be special, if you want your child to be unique, if you want your child to stand out in a crowd, then it's not just about his name. The character, the upbringing, the education. You know, if you make your child an alim, a good alim, you make your child a mufti, You make him a child, a scholar of the deen. You make your daughter an alima. You make her a teacher of the deen. You do all these things. You make your children pious. They will stand out. They will stand out in the crowd. Whatever they are called, they will stand out in the crowd. People will recognize them and they will praise them. You know that person there, mashallah, he's the son of so-and-so. Mashallah, that's the daughter of so-and-so. Mashallah, subhanallah, look at them, how pious they are, how good they are. They will stand out in the crowd. Not because of the name, but the name is also very important. And so we should choose a good name. A good name, a name of our pious predecessors. A name from amongst the pious predecessors. Don't just, you know, some people, they flick open the Quran and they... You know, I could do it. What did I stick on there? I put my finger on information. Do I call my child information because that's the word that I just ticked on, clicked on? That's not the way to do it. And so what happens is people open the Holy Quran and without doubt the words are blessed and put the finger on whatever it is, but it has no real meaning. You know, like I just did it there. Would I, you know, I've done it again and now put my finger on wonderful. Uh-huh. Is that what I should be calling my children? This is not the way. You need to ponder and think. And alhamdulillah, there are books. There is a book written by Maktubat al-Madina, Naam Rakhne Ke Akham. You know, the importance of giving your child a name. And so as parents, it is our duty to ensure that our children have a good name. And not only the name is the start. That is the first right. The right again is the education, the upbringing. And we see from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he give azan in the right ear, takbir in the left ear. This is again something that should be done. The aqiqah was also performed on the seventh day. On the seventh day we hear that the head was shaved. That again is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that whatever the weight of that hair is, shave it, weight, give the amount in sadqah. And nowadays people are advised to whatever the amount of that weight is in silver, give that. And that's not a lot of money. Give it in sadqah. And we should also give sadqah generally, but it is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give that amount specifically. Give that amount and spend sadqah in the way of Allah for your children's benefit, for your family's benefit, and also for your own benefit. If you're on the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and I think I'm carrying on again too much. Insha'Allah azawajal, after the break, we're going to have some hadiths, some sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once received news that a well-known warrior hailing from Najd, modern-day Riyadh, by the name of Du'athar. His full name was Du'athar bin Harith Muhrabi. He was not yet Muslim at this time. Now, he had prepared an army to attack Madinatul Munawwara. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set off with his own army of 400 companions to face them. When Du'athar came to know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already entered the city, he hurried forth and climbed the mountains with his army. Now during this time, an individual from his army known as Habban was captured and went on to accept Islam in the prophetic court. It just so happened to rain heavily on that day. So the Prophet began drying his clothes near a tree. The non-Muslims observed from the peaks of the mountains, finding the companions occupied in their own work, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by himself. They began to rouse Du'athar to attack the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the former began to say, "If I am unable to kill Muhammad, na'udhu billah, then may Allah kill me." He raised his sword above the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head and asked, "Who will save you from me now?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, replied, "Allah will save me from you." As soon as this was said, the archangel Jibreel alayhi salam descended and struck Du'athar on the chest with such force that he fell over. And what happened when he fell over? The sword fell from his hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately took hold of the sword and asked, "Now who will save you from me?" Du'athar responded, "Nobody can save me from you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, We call him the Rasul of Rahmah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt sympathy for his helplessness. Subhanallah. Not only did he forgive Du'athar, but he also returned his sword. Now if there was an enemy and they were trying to attack us and we got hold of their weapons, we wouldn't necessarily give them back. But subhanallah, this is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Du'athar was deeply impressed and inspired by the noble character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He then recited the kalima and became a Muslim at that very moment. He proceeded to return to his people and began inviting them to Islam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the mercy and the compassion that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned a person who was not a Muslim into accepting the kalima, into accepting Islam, and then not only that, but preaching it to his tribe. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mashallah, very important hadith. Sayyidina Imam Hassan anihi Imam Hussain, inshallah, we mentioned before the break that we're going to talk about them in relationship to the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said about the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And again, if we listen to these, then we'll understand their status. We'll understand their authority, and inshallah, hopefully that'll develop the love that we should have in our hearts for the grandsons. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who loves both of them, listen to this. You know, they said that, you know, this is a hadith that clears everything. The one who loves both of them loves me. And the one who bears malice towards them, bears a malice towards me. Finished. That's enough, isn't it? If you love them, the one who loves them loves me. The one who has a malice towards them has a malice towards me. Who is saying this? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all know to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an article of faith. We all know that to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we need to develop inside ourselves. So we mention it every day with the kalams, the nads, the praises, the salutations, everything we mention this. And here we're being told that if you love them, you love me. If you have a malice towards them, you have a malice towards me. So what do we need to do? We need to love them. How do we love them? By learning about them. How do we love them? We find out about their life. We find about the sacrifices that they made. We find about their upbringing, their status, and develop that love inside us. By ultimately, by loving them, we are loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Insha'Allah azza wa jalla. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Hassan and Hussein are two flowers of mine in the world." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that's why the commentator early on said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would smell them. Why? Because they are the flowers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hassan and Hussein are the leaders of the youth in Jannah." They are the leaders of the youth in Jannah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala stated, when this blessed verse of the Holy Quran was revealed, Surah Al-Shura, verse 23, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Say, O dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not ask any fee from you upon this, except love between close ones." Upon that, the blessed companions humbly asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are those beloved ones whose devotion and reverence is obligatory upon us?" Is obligatory upon. From this verse, they understood that certain members, it is obligatory upon them, obligatory further upon them to love them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Fatima Tuzara radiyallahu ta'ala, and the both of the blessed sons, i.e. Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala." It is learned from this view of Manchana that love and devotion towards the Ahlul Bayt is obligatory. It's not something that, okay, all right, you know, if I love them, if I don't. It's obligatory upon us. It's mandatory upon us. In the sight of every Muslim, Ahlul Bayt Kiram should be dearer than his wealth, honor, property, parents, children, and even his own life. Yes. Having devotion towards these blessed people is in fact devotion towards the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the devotion towards the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a sign of our iman. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "No one can become a true believer until he loves me more than he loves his life, until my life is dearer to him than his life, until my children are dearer to him than his children, and until my Ahlul Bayt are dearer to him than his own family." All lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are we true believers? Do we really believe? Yes, we say we believe. But believing, loving, following is not just here. Leaving, loving, following, believing is in our heart, in our soul, in every body, in every step, in every vein, in every blood vessel, in every droplet of our blood, every bone in our body needs to love, needs to believe. And to be able to do that, we're given the criteria here that we are not a true believer until we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than our life, until my life is dearer to him than his own life, until my children, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that until my children are dearer to them than his own children, and until my Ahlul Bayt are dearer to him than his own family. Allahu Akbar. Are they? First question, we always ask this question, who are these Ahlul Bayt? We don't even know who they are. If we don't even know who we are, how can we love them? Now, this is our weakness. This is our problem. That we don't even know who the Ahlul Bayt are. We don't even know who the children are. We hear the name Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. We'll hear the Imam Sahib, we'll hear the Khatib, we'll hear the speakers. They'll talk about the plains of Karbala. They'll talk about the sacrifices that were made by Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. But do we know anything more about their lives? Do we know how pious they were? Do we know how loved they were? Do we know the sacrifices that they made? Do we understand why them sacrifices were made? And then the question needs to be asked, why? Why were they willing to make them sacrifices? Why was Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and his family willing to make them sacrifices? Why was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life making sacrifices? Why were the companions throughout their life making sacrifices? Why were the Ahlul Bayt throughout their life making sacrifices? Why were the pious predecessors throughout their life making sacrifices? You know, you never hear of a pious predecessor who lived a life of luxury. Yeah, they just chilled. It didn't happen. They struggled, they strived. They strive for the deen so that the deen could come to us. They brought it to us. That valuable, the most valuable asset in the whole world is that deen of Islam. So that can be passed to us and we can take it in the form of our iman. And then we can take it and pass it on to the next generation. And through generation to generation, that's been passed on with sacrifice. And even today, even in here in the UK, we have the Jamatul Madinas here in the UK, in which the students, they're sacrificing, and then what happens is we don't value them. Society doesn't value the scholar. But it was not for that scholar. If it was not the scholars of the past, then the deen would not have been with you today. These students that come to Jamatul Madinah today, so that they can gain that treasure, that true wealth of knowledge, that treasure chest of knowledge, they can gather it, so that they can continue passing it on to generation to generation, so that people can benefit from that knowledge. Why? You know, why do we not value these people? Why do we not value the people that have gained this knowledge? Why do we not value our pious predecessors? Why do we not value the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do we not value the Ahlul Bayt? Why do we not value the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do we not even value the life the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not even valued? And if we do not value the Ahlul Bayt, if we do not value the children of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we do not truly love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we cannot say that we are true believers. We cannot say that we have true faith, we have true iman. Because it's not me and you who can put the criteria down and say, oh, this is you need to do this and this and this to have true iman. No, I cannot do that. I cannot say, look, that this is what you need to do. No, I have to go back to what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, this is the criterion. These are the things that you need to follow. This is what you need to do in your life. These are the people that you need to love. These are the people that you need to respect. These are the people that you need to follow. The companions, he said, the companions are like my stars. Follow them and you'll never go astray. The Ahlul Bayt, he said, you need to love them. The grandsons of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying you need to love them. And in each of these cases, he's saying this is part of your iman. This is the criteria of your iman. We can't pick and choose. I love a bit of this and I love a bit of that. This is not a buffet. Islam is not a buffet where you go into a restaurant and you say, I love a bit of this and I love a bit of that and I'll eat. I don't want that, I don't want that. No, it is the whole package. Yes, it's the whole package. Islam is the whole package. Islam is your whole deen. You cannot live Islam part-time. You know, I'll become a Muslim on Friday. Baki, rest of the week, forget about it. No, being a Muslim, following your deen, is not just about Salatul Jummah on a Friday. Being a Muslim is not just about Salatul Eid twice a year. Being a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just once a year going in a julus. Being a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just being during the month of Milad, having gatherings every day and going to these gatherings and staying up all night and listening to the naats. Yes, it is part of, but it's not the total package. Like I said, Islam is not a buffet where you pick and choose. It's the whole package. We have to live our lives as a Muslim. We have to live our lives as a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to live our lives following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and only then we can pray in the court of Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, through your mercy, accept us. There's still no guarantees. Yes, no guarantees. Nobody can give me a guarantee. Nobody can say, I have a guarantee. Nobody on here that is watching it here, now or tomorrow, whenever, can say, yes, I am guaranteed paradise. Nobody can guarantee that. There were certain companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that were guaranteed paradise. But how were they guaranteed paradise? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed them paradise. He named them. He named the Ashram al-Bashr, the 10 companions. He said, these companions are guaranteed paradise. He named them 10 people. All the others, yes, he gives signs that if a person does this, if a person does this, he will attain paradise. But it's only, again, follow the commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow the commands of Allah azza wa jalla and seek mercy in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, please accept whatever good I have done. Ya Allah, whatever sins I have committed, whatever mistakes I have made, and without a doubt, we've all made mistakes. Again, this is false. This is false to think that I am sinless. No, nobody's sinless. Nobody can say I've not made any mistakes. The person who says I've not made any mistake, that is the biggest mistake he's made. We need to humble ourselves, assess ourselves, realize we make mistakes, and every day do tawbah. Every day repent in the court of Allah. Every day repent in the court of Allah. Because there'll be sins that you committed that you know about. There'll be sins that you committed that you don't know about. The things that you've done that have affected other people you don't know about. Ya Allah, whatever sins I've committed, knowingly or unknowingly, Ya Allah, please forgive me. And I ask you all to pray for me and pray for all the ummah, that whatever sins the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has committed, whatever sins the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has committed, Ya Allah azza wa jalla, we ask thee to forgive them. Give us all guidance. Help us to stay on the path. Help us to stay away from sins. We need to love the Ahlul Bayt. We need to love Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. But love is, again, it's not just loving them. We need to follow them. You know, again, if we were to ask ourselves, what do we know? You know, I've asked this before. If we were to say, name 10 companions, those companions who were guaranteed paradise, the Ashram al-Bashir, we mentioned them, could we name them? Could we name 10 companions, full stop? Could we name 10 prophets? Could we name 10 pious predecessors? Could we name some of the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Could we name the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Today we're talking about the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you were not watching this program, could you have named the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then we'll realize where we are. And yet, it is obligatory upon us to show respect, reverence, love to the Ahlul Bayt, respect, love, reverence to the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is upon us, and we don't even know anything about them. How can you say you love someone you don't know anything about them? This again is our duty to find out about them. I do apologize for viewers on the channel if I'm being a bit harsh, but I think we need a reality check. And these months, the month of Muharram, they give us a reality check. That all Muslims wake up. Viewers on the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. So let's go to this small break, and inshallah, when we come back, we'll quickly talk about the love that the companions had for the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniza Fatima, good girl,
Kaniza Fatima.
Allahumma inni as'aluka khair al-mawlaji wa khair al-mahraj.
Raika, what was that?
I just shut the door. What else?
With such force?
Actually, the door slipped from my hand in a rush.
This kind of rush can also break the door. Make sure that you don't shut anything in a rush, whether it is a door or a cupboard, or a drawer or a cabinet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be careful in future.
Kaniza Fatima, good girl. Kaniza Fatima, everyone loves her. She is truthful. Mm. She serves the wrong and does the right. Everyone loves her.
Raika! What are you doing?
Just drinking water.
Standing up?
What's wrong in it?
We should drink water sitting down.
But why?
Because it's sunnah to drink water sitting down.
Okay.
And also, Raika, whenever you drink water, you should do so by reciting Bismillah, looking in light, and in three sips.
Why in the light? You can drink water in the dark as well.
If you drink water in dark, and if there's any dust or dirt inside the glass, then that will also go down your belly, which can also make you ill.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
And look at the state of your room. It's all messed up. Your school bag's on the floor, and your shoes are not put away either. And you haven't even changed your uniform yet.
Actually, I was hungry and forgot about it in a rush. I'll tidy up everything in 2 minutes. Ouch!
Raika, be careful!
Oh, it hurts really bad.
You see, Raika, you got hurt by not cleaning your room and rushing through everything without any need. You need to learn from all this.
Inshallah, next time I'll be careful.
Come on, it's time for Zohar Salah now. We should go and get ready to offer Zohar Salah.
Sure, let's go.
Honestly, Raika, I don't know why this girl's always in a rush. Raika, what's wrong with you? You do everything in so much rush that you don't even know what's going around you. First, you shut the door in a rush. And then, in a rush to eat, you started eating without cleaning or tidying up your room. Then again, in a rush, you started drinking water standing up. And now you didn't shut the tap properly. And now look at this. Look, Raika, things don't happen properly when we rush through, and we can make many mistakes if we rush without any need. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has stated, rushing through is from Satan. We should make sure that we do everything with peace and calmness. Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi states that, a believer is he who performs his tasks with reflection, calmness, and seriousness.
Sure, sister. I'll not rush into things in future. Inshallah.
Come on, let's offer salah now. And make sure you offer it with peace and calmness. The summary of the saying of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is that salah is with calmness.
Jazakillahu khairah. I'll be careful of these things in future.
Kaniza Fatima, good girl.
Kaniza good girl.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Acha, viewers of my channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. Sorry, I got slightly distracted there. I was listening to the little cartoon there, mashallah. Messages for us, for not just for our children. You know, these little cartoons, these little haka, obviously they're made to appeal to the children, but also we should also watch them again. You know, the Ghulam Rasool, the Kaniza Fatima cartoons that Haa made. There are many messages in the positive messages that we all need to learn from and adopt in our lives, not just for our children. Yes, they're there so that the children become interested, the children will listen. But at the same time, it is far from to the truth that we are not perfect either, that we need to obviously gain that knowledge. Whenever these little messages are there, then also we should also watch them and benefit from them as well. Viewers of my channel, on today's program, we're talking about the majesty of the Hasanain Karamain, the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Azab, verse 33, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. Allah only wills to remove all impurity from you, all the people of the household, and by cleansing you, make you utterly pure. Most of the commentators of the Quran are of this opinion The above mentioned verse refers to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And Imam Ahmad has reported from Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, this blessed verse is revealed in excellence and eminence of the Panch Tan Park. And Panch Tan Park refers to the noblest Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. In another blessed narration, it is stated the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enumerated the rest of his blessed daughters, his beloved ones, his relatives, and blessed wives all along. Well, all of these people were in this as well. And with regards to this particular verse, Imam Tabari rahmatullah ta'ala has stated that all the beloved family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah wants to keep you away from foul talk and obscene things and purify you from the filth of sins. Alama Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Mufti Nimuddin Marabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that the aforementioned blessed verse is a source and origin of the virtues of the Ahlul Bayt al-Kiram. And it seemed that they have been kept safe from evil manners. In some hadith, it is stated that hellfire is haram on the Ahlul Bayt, i.e. the Ahlul Bayt are Jannah dwellers. And this is the fruit of this protection, and Allah Azza wa Jal keeps them protected from those things which are not worthy to their status. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we need to understand the status of the Ahlul Bayt as well, which obviously Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are amongst the Ahlul Bayt. I know time is running very short, so I'm trying to give you as much parables and as much sayings of our pious predecessors so we understand the status. It is stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously loved Hassan and Hussein, the most amongst all the Ahlul Bayt. And sometimes the noblest Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would carry them, you know, himself, and he would carry them on his shoulders, in fact. And even in the state of Salah, you know, they would both climb on his back, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would let them ride on his back while he was in sajda, and he would prolong his sajda when he would, until he would, and then he would raise his head, and then he would make them sit on the ground comfortably. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that one day we were offering salah behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hassan and Hussein jumped on his back whilst he was in the state of prostration in salah. When he lifted his head, he would move them gently and place them beside them. Then again, the noblest Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the state of prostration, and they both repeated the same thing until the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed his salah and made them sit on his thighs. Similarly, once in the childhood, whilst the noblest Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering a khutbah to us, when Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala entered the masjid, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to them, giving up the khutbah, and then placed them in front of him. Allahu Akbar. You know, nowadays what happens is, if we are reading our namaz, and even if a child comes in the room, forget even coming in front of us, he comes in the room where we're reading the namaz, after the namaz, that child, the mother of that child, whoever's looking after that child, the guardian of that child, they will get into big trouble. You're disturbing my namaz? Yeah? I'm trying to read my namaz and the child comes in. How can I read my namaz with the child coming in the room? And if that child, Allah, I pray it never happened, the child comes on the prayer mat, tawbah. What's going to happen then? Then everything comes down, yeah? Then the guardian's in real trouble, the child's in real trouble. Keep him in my room. Why you can't look after this child? And we'll lock the room. Yeah, look at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That child was to come and climb in your back whilst you were in sajda. Allahu Akbar. What would you do then? What would you do then? Yeah. Look at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he do? He didn't get angry afterwards. He didn't say, we're going to have to repeat the namaz now because these kids were disturbing me, you know, I couldn't concentrate on my namaz, we're going to have to repeat the namaz. No! He didn't scold the children and say, why are you doing here? He didn't scold his daughter or his son-in-law and say, keep the children here, what are you doing here? And then when the young children, they came into the masjid and he was delivering a khutbah. Obviously, a very important message he was giving to the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was delivering a khutbah, and every word that came from the mouth of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without doubt had its importance. He's delivering the khutbah and he sees the grandsons. He sees them coming into the masjid. What does he gets up? He goes, he stops. He stops the khutbah. That act in itself, stopping the khutbah, getting up and going there, picking them up and bringing them. You can see, understand the reverence and respect that he had for them children. Nowadays, when you're in a masjid and there is a speaker And he's doing a speech, he's delivering a speech, and what happens is a huge scholar comes in. A pious person comes in, he will stop his speech. He will stop his speech for them few moments. Not, it doesn't always happen. And even then it doesn't always happen. Sometimes he made the speech and he will say, all by Ahl Sunnah, you know, mashallah, they've come into the masjid, please come and sit here and give them the respect and reverence. But he'll not give up his place. He's not going to leave his place. Yeah. He's not going to get up and go to the door and escort them to the sitting place. He'll keep hold of his mic. Yeah. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would give up his khutbah, he would stop the place where he's going, go to the children, bring them, sit them down in front of him, and then he would carry on. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Just, you know, compare it to today. Do we show that love to our children? You know, we're in the masjid listening to speech and our children, oh no, the children have come. Oof, they're going to be messing about, aren't they? What am I going to do with these children? Yeah, what am I going to do with these children? They're always messing about, always giving me a hard time. Yeah, go and get the children, make them sit with you. MashaAllah, you come and sit here, Vidal. Sit here, MashaAllah. Listen to what the Imam's up saying. Shh, I'll explain to you. Shh, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Be quiet, yeah. You know, make them love that atmosphere, make them love that gathering. In the same way that whilst you're reading your namaz at home and they are there and they come on your prayer mat, make them, you know, MashaAllah, Acha, you came as well, Bata, MashaAllah. Did you read your namaz? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You know, the child might have just laid down on the floor. Because he's copying the father, he's copying the mother, he's copying the grandfather, he's copying the grandmother. They might just lie down on the floor. Yeah. And afterwards, okay, beta, mashallah, we finished. Are you finishing namaz? Mashallah. Okay, let's do dua now. And encourage the child to lift the hands. The child's sitting there. Why are you deterring that children? Make that child love that. You know, and that child, within a short space of time, when you say to the child, I'm going to read my namaz, the child may be even 3 or 4, I'm coming with you, I'm going to go read my namaz as well. And he'll follow you. Why? Because you made that a place of comfort. You made that place where the child is praised. You made that place a place where the child wants to be. Rather than said you put the fear inside them. Oh, you can't go. Oh, namaz. Oh, your dad's reading namaz. You can't go there. So the child becomes scared of that place, becomes scared of that environment, doesn't want to go near there. How is that child going to ever want to read namaz? Because it's a scary place. It's a scary thing. He just, oh, I don't want to read my namaz. It's scary. Again, this is what we need to instill in them. And look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, was he not busy? He was the busiest amongst us. Did he not have responsibilities? He had the most responsibilities amongst us. Did he not have to give the guidance? Every moment of the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was valuable. But in picking up them children, in letting them children climb on his back, in letting them children sit on his thighs when he was sitting down, in that time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us a message. He's telling us that this is how you need to treat your children. This is the respect, the love that you need to give your children. This is what you need to do. I'm doing it. You should also do it. Follow my way. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is teaching us. Do we give that respect, that reverence, that love to our children? Do the children feel comfortable? You know, a child may come whilst we're reading the Quran, and again, the child messes about. I know it's not easy. You know, they want to flick the pages of the Quran. Okay. You know, explain to the child. Try to explain. If the child's too young, can't explain, then read it later on. Yeah. It's not further upon you. They have to read the Quran there and then. Yeah. Explain to the child. Get the child busy. Get him doing something else and then read the Quran. Or say to the child, beta, you sit here, listen. I'll read the Quran. You listen to it. Close your eyes, beta. Inshallah, close your eyes, you'll enjoy it. Yeah, and the child might understand, better close your eyes and then read the Quran. Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful household where small children at a young age, the father, the mother is reading the Quran and the children are sitting there listening to the Quran. Allahu Akbar. You know that what I mentioned earlier on, that Amir al-Sunnah tells us to read 3 verses of the Quran on a daily basis with translation and commentary. It is encouraged to do it amongst the family. Today is the husband's duty, tomorrow it's the wife's duty, the day after it's the son's duty, the daughter's duty, and change the duties and do this as a family. So that the younger ones, the siblings, they will benefit from it as well. Create that atmosphere. And if you want to create that, you know, the atmosphere of Medina, then look at the King of Medina. If you want to have, you know, the atmosphere of Medina in your house, look at the house of the King of Medina. If you want to have your children become Madani children, you know, Madani Munne, then look at the Madani Munni of Medina. Look at the children there. Look at how they were brought up. Look at their tarbiyah. Look at their upbringing. Look at their education. Look at their characteristics. And say to yourself, that are my children following in the footsteps? Even Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, are they following in his footsteps? Have they got that piety inside them? Have they got them characteristics inside them? And if not, what do I need to do about it? Yes, what do I need to do about it? It's not something, again, that you can give an injection. I need to do something about it. So the ideal home is the home of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ideal wives are the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ideal children are the children of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ideal grandchildren are the grandchildren of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ideal family are the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because there are ideals, then there are role models. Obviously, whoever is your ideal should be your role model. You should try and follow them. You should try and love them. You should try and respect them. So they are our ideals. So let's learn to respect them. Let's learn to love them. Let's learn to follow them. And that can all be done by learning about them, finding out about them, learning about their lives. And if we learn about their lives, then automatically that love will come inside us. Nowadays, people are picking up autobiographies of film stars, of sports stars, of politicians, historians, and reading about their lives. But I say to you, have you read about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Have you read about the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Have you read about the life of the righteous khalifas? Have you read the lives of the mothers of the believers? Have you read about the lives of the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Have you read about the lives of the pious predecessors? And then when you read about their lives, it'll instill inside you. Because every one of those pious predecessors, they did their utmost to love the Ahlul Bayt. Very, very quickly, viewers of the channel, I'm going to try and mention some riwayats regarding the love for the Husnain Karamain of the righteous companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he became Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa of the Muslims, by virtue of the relation to the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would take special care of the Ahlul Bayt Athar, and he would say about the Ahlul Bayt Athar that the relatives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are dearer to me than my own relatives. Now when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq says this, he is the Siddiq, remember this, he is the truthful one. When he says it, he means it. When he says that they are dearer to me than my own relatives, he means it. When I say I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do I mean it? When I say I love the Ahlul Bayt, do I mean it? When I say I love Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, when I say I love the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do I mean it? That's a question that we all need to ask. Viewers of the channel, please develop that love inside you. There's so much more that I wanted to say to you, but as I'm looking at the time, I'm realizing I'm running out of time. Please forgive me, but try and develop this love for the Ahlul Bayt. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.